Ellen, how did your morning go today?
Like every other morning, I have to put a face on because I can't let your girls see me without my face. I just have to tell you that my bill at Macy's for the makeup for the Today Show was $278. I thought Peter was going to die when he saw the bill. $278 for a lipstick. I said, Peter, I needed a lip pencil. I needed eyebrow pencils. I needed mascara.
Did you tell him you were only on the Today Show once in a lifetime?
The first time. I called it the first time I'm on the Today Show.
Okay, you're very optimistic.
Who are we going to hear today?
Today we're going to hear from Joan the grandmother and Noah the granddaughter. It should be fun, and they just love each other. They're the best of friends.
I can't wait to get started.
Here we have Joan Mendelson. She's 87 years old, full of sass.
Yeah, to say that.
She's 25.
Who asked you how old I was?
I just thought it was important that people know how much of a life you've lived and how much knowledge you'll have to share with the world.
Well, that's the end of Hugh Jackman for me. Now he knows I'm 87. Thanks. Noah is my most beautiful granddaughter. She's wonderful and she has a terrific personality. And happy to say, she has my hair. Gorgeous, long, blonde, brown hair. Did I do good, sweetheart?
You did great. Grandma, what would you say was kind of a moment that defined our relationship?
Oh, I was thrilled because then I didn't have to speak to your mother. I had you. It was perfect. Perfect. Sorry, Susan.
My grandmother and I have been super close for a very long time. I think that we started to reach an exceptionally close level when she realized that I could have a glass of wine with her. And that's when she really introduced me to her world. Right, Grandma?
That's it. The only reason for having the children in the first place was to have the grandchildren in the second place so I could get rid of the children and just be with my grandkids. They're divine. I love them madly. We have a wonderful time together. My daughter's okay too, you know.
As a kid, she was always there at all of my performances. And as I've gotten older, you know, I go to her for dinner once a week. My friends are absolutely obsessed with my grandmother. So one time, a couple of friends and I were meeting up for drinks and we stopped at a couple different rooftop bars. They all had insane lines. So I was like, you know what? My grandma lives across the street. Let's just go grab a drink at her apartment. And we walked in and she immediately starts sharing her stories and her jokes. And they look at me, they're like, why wasn't this plan A? She's amazing and I want to hang out with her all the time. You know, with a parent, I tend to be a little more reserved with sharing information. But my grandma, you tell her anything, she forgets it. So I can kind of just tell her anything I want.
You're so lucky. I can't remember. I don't even know who you are, for heaven's sake.
What are we doing here, G?
No, see, what do we like to polish nails?
We polish nails.
We eat together. We mess everybody up together. We plan how to get rid of a bunch of the kids that we don't like together. We're very close. We are very close.
I love the relationship. I love the way that girl loves her grandmother and the way the grandmother loves her.
Yeah, but this grandmother's a funny lady. She's got a good sense of humor. To me, that you know how important a sense of humor is.
Absolutely.
And I love when she says we'd get rid of the daughters. Are you kidding? I would never say that about my daughters. They'd kill me. That's a funny way to think. I say you have kids, so when you forget, your kids remind you, which when we gave my mother a 95th birthday party at my niece's house, the next day I call her and say, Mom, how'd you like the party? She says, what party? I says, Mom, the main ballroom of the Plaza Hotel. You don't remember that party? It was top of the line. She didn't remember, so I figured I might as well make a nice party.
Let her be happy. Let her think it really went all out.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, I've just been handed the part titles, and here we go. Part one, Hugh Jackman. Is that a grandchild?
I want you to give me one of your elaborate stories that you usually come up with.
Oh, you want me to lie?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I got up this morning, and guess who was lying next to me?
Who?
Hugh Jackman. How nice is that?
What'd you guys do?
Why would I tell you that? You're a busybody, and I'm not answering any more of those questions. Get a life.
I don't have a life. My life is you. Why don't you tell us a true story now? How about the time you actually met Paul Newman?
I bumped into his car.
Yeah? What happened?
He rented a house in my neighborhood.
And what'd you do?
He stopped the one stop sign in the neighborhood. And I was madly in love with him, always. I would have to give Hugh Jackman up for him. I really would.
But what happened, Gramps? He stopped at the stop sign and what?
I ran into his car. It was a perfect meeting. And he was so sweet. I thought he would immediately fall madly in love with me and get rid of his wife. I mean, well, what's the point of talking about it? Gone. My one chance at glory. Missed.
It's okay. Now you have Hugh Jackman to think about.
That's true. I want to make something very clear. I know he's married and has several children, maybe five. I don't want him on a permanent basis. I want his wife to understand that as well. I just want to borrow him. And when I'm finished with him, I'm going to send him back to his wife if he wants to go. I don't want anything permanent.
Did you tell him this when you met him? She did truly get to meet him once.
I think his wife was there.
Maybe he's laughing in the picture.
So maybe I did tell him.
Woman has a fantastic fantasy life, I'll tell you that. I can't wait till I'm 87.
I was 87. I don't have those things happening. Hugh Jackman in the bed next to me.
I met Paul Newman, and to be perfectly honest with you, his eyes were beautiful, but I was taller.
No, he's not so short. I like short men.
Everything is relative.
right for me, he's tall. Listen, now she's got this new guy from Bridgerton. Did you all see him? This new Rene Page, Jean Page.
Oh, yes. Oh, he's beautiful.
Oh, my God. So she can give up Hugh Jackman. She'll have this new guy.
No, he's mine. He's mine. He is gorgeous.
Listen, at this age, 87 is not that far from 90. That's how you live when you get to our age. A lot of it is oil in the head.
Can't wait.
It's not in the body. That's
next up, part two. Ironing and crying. Well, crying I know. Ironing I don't do.
So, Grams, I want to go back to college with you.
Yes.
Tell me about when you met Aunt Elaine.
Aunt Elaine. I decided to come in as a freshman because I didn't want to be in a sophomore dorm. So I came in, and there in the laundry room was Aunt Elaine. She's my friend for 100 years, ironing and crying. And I said, what's the matter with you? I have to leave. I said, you just got here. Why do you have to leave? Because there are no Jewish people in my dormitory. I said, I'm Jewish. Well, I was Exhibit A. She dragged me out. I met her parents. And she said, she's Jewish, she's Jewish, I can stay. And that was it, they let her stay. Ironing and crying. She's been doing that for the last 56 years.
So, Grandma, do you remember this at all? My freshman year of college, I'm sitting in my dorm room and I get a call from my high school ex-boyfriend. Haven't spoken to him in a while. I'm like, what's up? He goes, you're never going to believe who I just bumped into in the hallways of Baruch. Who? Your grandma. What the hell was my grandma doing at school? He's like, she's trying to figure out how she could sign up for some art classes. Grandma, do you remember that at all?
Yes, I do indeed.
I don't believe she ever found the art classes, but...
There were none.
She's just a go-getter, you know?
That's my motto. You want it, go for it.
There were no Jewish girls here. Oh, you know, that's surprising. Listen, you find Jews wherever you go. They just have a way of getting in somehow. I don't know how. And once they get in, they never leave you alone. You're friends for life.
Yeah, but when I went to college, Rita, there were no Jewish. I had my roommate and one other girl, and that was it.
I went to Syracuse. A lot of Jewish girls in Syracuse. But you know what? Who cares?
My daughter went to American University, and she pledged a sorority that was very Southern. And I'm speaking to my son, and he says, you know, Mom, we're going to have to change our name to Culpepper.
Right.
If she gets into that sorority.
But you know what? You're all young college kids. You go, you have fun, you love each other, and whatever it is. If she had investigated, she would know, to tell you the truth, Baruch is a business school. You're not going to find our classes in the business school. But okay, she didn't know she went. She said met somebody, so that was fine.
She does her thing, and everybody seems to know her and love her.
But I'm trying to save her little footsteps.
Okay, part 3 is up next. Dumbo, an elephant?
Grandma, what was dating like back in the day? Like me, when I go on a date, I wear jeans and a t-shirt. What would you wear?
First of all, nobody wore jeans. There was no such thing as jeans. People didn't walk around in jeans. They walked around in skirts with matching sweaters. It was an ensemble, my dear. And you looked elegant, well, as elegant as a kid could look. And you wore Bobby socks and loafers.
Did you ever go out for dinner?
No, you did not go to dinner. That cost money. You have to understand this was right after the Depression. People didn't have money. If you were going out with somebody wealthy, which I was not, that's a different circumstance. No, nobody took you out to dinners.
You want to tell us how you and Papa met?
I finagled it. That's how I got him.
Yeah, tell us.
He was every girl's dream. He was this nice Jewish boy.
And 6 feet tall.
And he was about 130 pounds. All the girls loved him. Well, that's all I had to hear, that he now became a challenge. And I knew this was it. He used to go off campus every weekend to see another girlfriend. And I knew where he was going. And one day, he was sitting at the coffee shop, and I sat right behind him. So he had his hands on his head. I said, I always thought you were thinking deep thoughts, but now I know you're nursing a hangover. Well, he said, who are you? And I told him. And he said, what is it, your business? I said, everything you do is my business. That was it. After that, it was made in heaven. He never went off campus again, because I never went off campus again. And I snagged him, and I was not sorry. From the first to the day he died, he was the love of my life. Oh, I miss him. I really do miss him.
So when you and Papa started dating, what kind of dates did you guys go on?
We went dancing. There was a place around the corner on Marshall Street where they had a jukebox.
Ooh.
And if you had the money, you could put 25 cents in and you would have 5 songs. I don't think they served alcohol. I'm sure they did not. There was Coke or whatever. And we had that. And everyone was there. All your friends were there dancing. And we had a very innocent, very nice time.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what he looked like and what your mother said about it?
Oh, ugly. Well, you see, he could fly because his ears were flapping. So I told my mother how madly in love I was with this guy. And my mother said, you're madly in love with him. He looks like Dumbo. And I realized she was right. But I could help that look. And so I did. I went with him to the barber, and I said, listen, the ears on the side of the head, we can't cut them off. let's let the hair grow all around it so there'll be no space between the ear and the head. And that's what we did. He had a full head of hair, all curly, and it was not shaved, because in those days, the guys used to have their heads very, very short.
Like a buzz cut.
Yeah. I said, he's very handsome, Mother. You don't see it. No, she said, I think he's quite ugly. Well, it took her a while, but once I got rid of the ears sticking out with the hair growing, he was stunning. Wasn't he stunning?
He was. You picked a good one.
You know what? Of all the podcasts we've heard, she's the only grandmother that said, you know, I miss Papa.
Yes.
But it was so nice. She says, I miss him. There was a nice love affair. Look how nice. She mentioned him out. She made his hair grow over the ears. We all do things to make them better looking.
Well, that's it. We all have a vision. And once we get the guy, we start to mold them into that vision.
That's right. Never happens, but we keep trying. Okay, Ellen, it's time for a commercial. Nikki is scratching at the door. Gotta get the dog out.
Okay, Crumpet, Terrace. Here comes part four, marriage and money. Let's see how this is handled in this marriage. I know how it's handled in my house.
So, Grandma, what was Papa like as a husband and a father?
Oh, he's very faithful. It was a different era, I guess. His word was his bond. He was honorable. He was wonderful. He really was. He was a pain in the ass as well, by the way. That would be expected. But he was a very good husband. I think a very good father, though. I suspect that if he wasn't as good a father as he should have been, it was because of the golf. That was his downfall. And he was very good at it. He was a wonderful athlete.
And Grandma, how did you used to know when Papa was mad at you?
Picture in the fridge. You know that. My sister, Aunt Myra, and she was a spy for me. And when I was in trouble with Grandpa, she would call me up and say, your picture is in the refrigerator. But if things got really bad, then my picture was in the freezer. And if it was in the freezer and face down, I should look for another boyfriend because this was over.
So tell me about your first job. I'm curious, how did that figure into your marriage?
I worked privately with two students. Both of them were deaf.
Mm-hmm.
One student, Richard Mead, who was the first deaf student to be accepted by MIT. He was brilliant. I worked with them at school, and then their parents were so pleased with the results of my work that they asked me if I would work every day privately, which I did, and I made, in those days, a lot of money, because I worked by the hour. Today, they would stone me. I gave all of my money to my husband, and he said, how much do you need to live on and run the house and so on and so forth? I said, I think $40 a week will do it. And he gave me $40, and he took several hundred dollars of my money, our money, my money, and he put it in the bank, in his savings account.
But he did do that to save money for the two of you and your families and your lives together. He wasn't taking it for himself.
Oh, no, of course not. No. He wasn't taking my money and going out on the town. No. It was a different time. I gave him the money. Some guys would have just gone and blown the money. But he was so honorable and so trustworthy.
So did Papa support the fact that you were working? Did he appreciate it?
Are you kidding? He almost killed me when I stopped working. I was making more money than he was.
So what should I look for in a man?
First of all, make sure that he's a challenge, that everyone wants him. That's very important. He's got to have something special. Can't be just a nebbish kid that schlumps along. It would be wonderful if he had a lovely imagination. You make the decision. Don't leave it up to the guy, because they never make decisions. And they're usually wrong if they make them. So forget that. But he has to be smart. He doesn't have to be wealthy. The rest will come if he's intelligent. And he has to love you more than you love him. That would be very helpful.
So what would you wish for me when I get married one day?
What do I wish for you? Well, happiness, of course. Health, happiness, a lot of love. Of course, babies. That's to be expected. How many babies do you want?
100.
You're not going to have 100, trust me. How many do you want?
As many as I can handle. 3, 4.
Well, please start now, because I'm not getting any younger. You could have a baby now, you know. I wouldn't care.
I don't think I'm going to have a baby right now.
Oh, rats.
Grandma, what do you think of Adam, my boyfriend? How do you think I did?
I think he's lovely, and he loves you to pieces, which is so nice. It's so nice.
So you like having him around?
Of course.
I pick someone that you're okay with?
Yeah. Anyone that makes you happy, I would be happy with. But he happens to be a very exceptionally wonderful boy. And don't lose him or you're out. You're out of the will.
Too bad for you, Grandma. I already have your whole will on the wall because she asked me for a favor. And I said, well, if I'm going to do this, you have to sign this that says Grandma's will. Noah gets everything. And she signed it. And that's hanging up in our kitchen. So I don't know if you'll get me out of there, G.
You know, it's so funny. She said something that my mother used to say to me. She said, you know, it's nice to have a loving relationship, but the man should always love you a little bit more. And she's right.
Absolutely.
But I'm just telling you younger girls, marriage is like a game. You have to know how to play it right, how to play up to your husband, how not to play up to your husband, when give, when take. It's a whole philosophy of how to be married.
Yeah, but, you know, that ends at a certain point, Ray. Because once you got the power, you got the power.
You know, they should have a course, how to be married. There's little things in marriage that we old women would come in with, and you'd see it work out. Make sure they love you more.
Okay, Rita, it's time to go to a commercial. I hate to switch gears like this, but who's paying the bills?
It's not going
to
be you and I.
Next up, part 5, the Gramercy Grandma. I wonder what this could mean.
Grandma, tell us about how you ended up living in the Gramercy Park Hotel.
Oh, my husband was a lawyer. One of his clients owned the hotel. And one day he came back from Manhattan and he looked so upset. Apparently a couple of kids were hassling him. They threw his glasses on the floor and he stepped on them. And he said, you know what, let's stay there during the week and we'll go home on the weekends. And that's what we planned on doing. And then he said, you know what, let's just stay here and we'll sell our house, which is what we did. And that's how we got to be at the Gramercy Park Hotel forever and ever.
Yeah, so the original owner and management wasn't what it is now. And when these new owners took over, they turned the Gramercy Park Hotel into what it is today. It's this super hip hotel where all the celebrities stay. And so my 4'8" grandmother, who was best friends with all of the doormen there, would come home every day and they'd let her know who was there. Weekly, I'd get a call. Noah, do you know who Bouncy is? Grandma, remember when Bouncy was in your hotel?
Yeah, who was Bouncy?
Bouncy is Beyonce, a famous singer.
Beyonce, right, Bouncy.
Uh-huh. And tall sports guys would be staying in the hotel. She'd go knock on their shoulder. You're very tall. Like, yes. So my cousins and I actually decided to make an Instagram about her life. The Gramercy Grandma is what we called it. It didn't start out as a Hugh Jackman fan page, but it slowly but surely turned into that.
Did I see it?
I've showed you before, yes.
Did I like it?
I think you did.
Do we charge?
We don't charge for it.
Oh, too bad.
Oh, you know, I relate to her because she said she's 4'8" and I was like 4'9". My God, we could be a team, the two of us. But she's cute. I get her. I get these little ladies.
Oh, she's adorable. She's absolutely, but I just see her as like a senior citizen Eloise at the Gramercy Park Hotel.
You know what? She'd be my competition because people see me, they say, oh, Dr. Ruth. They all think I'm Dr. Ruth Westheimer. She knows a lot about sex. What I forgot about sex, you could write a book about. I don't
You know, Rita, when I was much younger, I looked like Beverly Sills. And I was at the Russian Tea Room one day, and a couple was sitting at a table near us. And they kept on staring over, and my sister was with me, and she said to me, they think you're Beverly Sills. She says, watch. And she turns around and she says, you know, Beverly, we have a lot of things to do. She says, let's get going. So we go out, and she went one way, I went the other way, and I got into a cab. And the cab driver, he turned around and he smiled at me, you know, and he says, I know who you are. He says, but I know better than to ask. So when I got out, he says, I can't help it. Can I have your autograph? I said, sure. And he handed me a piece of paper. And I said, you're a terrific driver. With all my best wishes, Ellen Grodsky.
No, I told you the one that this lady, as I was walking to the subway, oh, Dr. Ruth, Dr. Ruth. I said, no, I'm not Dr. Ruth. Yes, you are. I would need an autograph. And I said, I have no paper and pencil. She says, please, wait here. She goes into the supermarket right there. And I start walking towards the subway. And she comes and she's, this is a God's honest truth. She says, Dr. Ruth, I got a paper. So I figured, oh my God, if I don't say I'm Dr. Ruth, she's going to be so upset. So sure enough, I wrote Dr. Ruth Westheimer, and she goes running in the street. I got her autograph. So I did a mitzvah. She was so happy.
Okay, Rita, this is it. This is the end, part 6, and it's evolving. We all have to evolve. Let's see how she evolves. I love that word, evolving.
Grandma, being a woman when you were growing up is very different from what being a woman is like now. What differences do you really see in that, and what would you have preferred?
Women are their own people, and they do their own thing, and they make a living, and they go home from work, and they don't expect that somebody is going to be there cooking for them. Your life is harder than my life was. We had roles to play, and we understood what those roles were, and we bought into those roles, and it made our lives easier because we knew what we were supposed to do.
But isn't it kind of special that I don't have to live by those roles? I can be whatever it is that I want to be?
It's only special if you want it to be. If you buy into it, it's special.
What were you like as a mother?
I don't think I was a great mother. I kind of let them do their own thing most of the time because I had trust in them. But you'd have to ask the kids that. I don't know. I have no idea. And you better say the right thing. Kids, where are you?
How do you think you are as a grandma?
Better than I was as a mother. My little mushy baby girl.
Oh, mushy, mushy grandma.
Yeah.
So, what makes a good grandmother?
I think being a grandmother gives you a perspective and sense of time. You do not have infinite number of years. And that this is like a gift that you get. Whatever you did wrong, you can make up for with these kids. And it's fun.
How do you think our relationship has evolved now that I'm an adult?
It doesn't evolve now that you're an adult. It evolves from the moment you opened your eyes. It's a growing thing. It's like a plant. And you nurture it and you water it and you care for it and you love it. That's how it works.
So your grandkids, so me, Ben, Hank, Sophie, Michael, Annie, Amanda, Tess, Ruby, Margie, do you think that our values and ideas about how to live life match your own?
Well, exceed my own, actually. Not just match, exceed. Because you're very close to one another. You care about one another. Perfect. You guys, it make me cry.
We love you.
Have we surprised you in any way, Grams?
No. I mean, I expected you to be good people, honorable people, and you are. And that's all I ask of you. I mean, you love each other and you show it, and that's the best thing I can ask. I just know that all of you make me happy.
Well, you make all of us happy, G. You know, the highlight of our week every week is walking through your door, hearing your stories, having a drink with you. And we all feel so lucky to have the chance to have spent all this time with you.
Why do you read the paper's obituaries, tear them out, and leave them around the house for me and my mother to see?
Oh, because there are certain that are very nice obituaries, and then I can decide which one I want. I am going to underline some of them too, by the way.
So when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, and you said, I want this one.
Oh,
she was
yeah.
the Supreme Court Justice. And you read it word for word, and you said, don't change a thing.
Just the name. Why not? Who's going to remember?
Oh, she's a riot.
She is so funny. I think that people of a certain age have a preoccupation with death.
You know what it is, Ellen? I'm 90 now. If you live to 90, that was a good old age. And as I'm 90, I say, I don't know, where did 90 years go? And I like to impress upon everybody, no matter what the age is, when you get to 90, you look back and say, how fast I got to 90.
Yes, yes, I agree.
So every day is a gift, and don't let anything pass you by, because I don't want to say when I get older, I'm sorry I didn't do this. Take in everything you possibly can.
I agree. You got to live life to the fullest. Every minute counts.
And this podcast, I hope all the grandmothers bring the message home to all the grandkids. Live life, enjoy life, be kind and loving to each other. Remember, you want everybody to say, I miss you, girls.
Ray, I miss you. I miss you when I don't talk to you for one day. Call Your Grandmother is a production of iHeartRadio and Superb Entertainment. The hosts of the show are
me, Rita Kay,
and me, Ellen Bernstein-Grodsky, created by Meryl Poster, produced and directed by Anna Stump, with producer Abu Zafar and associate producer Emily Marinoff. Managing producer Lindsay Hoffman and executive producers are Meryl Poster, Nikki Etor, and Mangesh Hatikador. Music and mastering by Hamilton Lighthouser and Anna Stump.
Listen, just listen to me. I'm an old grandmother, so tell everybody you know you've got to listen to Call Your Grandmother.